Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. I am so excited because today we are joined by Emily Getz. She's an abstract artist and I found her on Instagram. I saw her amazing work and I was like, first of all, I never had like a painter come on. And second of all, I'm super intrigued by her story and how she got started. So hi Emily, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Marianne?
I'm doing well. We were just talking off air that we are actually basically neighbors, which is crazy. But that's the beauty of social media, right? I mean, meeting people, because I didn't put, you know, Bushwick or Williamsburg or Brooklyn in the, like, my search.
Yeah. So. And honestly, just from seeing your, like, your images on your Instagram, I assumed you were in the city. Or I would have never thought, like, we literally lived, like, a minute from each other.
Well, the funny thing is, because again, guys, this is the first time she and I are talking, but just to give you background, I'm a native New Yorker. So I was born and raised in the city in the Lower East Side. And I've always been a city girl, super proud of it. And then when I started to get older and like meet new people, the first question people often ask is, where are you from? You know? And I would say New York, but they would say no, but like where really? And then when I mentioned the area and like Manhattan, people would be so fascinated. And I never knew how quote unquote rare that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I started to like look at New York and everybody in it. And I was like, wow, we are definitely a melting pot. There's definitely, you know, a huge diversity here. Why don't I, you know, create a platform where we can share stories? Because I think, one, all the stories are different, but from doing this for 2 years, I realized we all share similar struggles and feelings and, you know, the common theme of being a human.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially in a city like this, like, but that's amazing.
Yeah. So why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself to the listeners? I would love to get to know you more and tell us about what is home to you, like where did you grow up, and then how did you come here? What is your relationship with New York City?
Hi guys, again, I'm Emily. I'm an abstract expressionist artist based out of Brooklyn, specifically Bushwick. So I'm like Marianne, I am not originally from New York. I grew up in the Midwest in Ohio, and my background has always been in fashion. I studied fashion I went to four different schools. I went to two schools in Ohio, a school in Italy, and a school in Hong Kong. I studied textiles and clothing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is so interesting.
My first love.
Wow.
And I moved to New York. I was working at Saks Fifth Avenue in Cleveland, and I expressed that I wanted to move to New York, and luckily they were able to transfer me here to the flagship store, which was an incredible experience. So yeah, I've actually worked in fashion up until this October. So art has been a very new venture for me. Really since COVID, my latest job at fashion, I was working at Ralph Lauren on their creative team, which was a dream job for me. I absolutely love that company. And I was, sadly, the whole team was furloughed in the first week of April. So, so many New Yorkers, you're working like long hours, like 24/7, like your life revolves around your work schedule. And, you know, suddenly that stopped, and I didn't know what to do with all this time, and everyone was quarantined, so I could, you know, like everyone, you couldn't see your friends, you couldn't socialize, and I just, I had a very brief background in art. My grandma was an artist, you know, I grew up always admiring art, and I would paint occasionally, or it was mainly drawing fashion figures, but I just suddenly had all this time on my hands, and I began painting, and it kind of has evolved into, I feel like this is what I do full time now. And I'm really not sure if I want to go back into the corporate world. So right now I'm just taking it day by day, enjoying the art and enjoying all the amazing people I've met this, you know, the past 6-7 months. I'm excited to see where it takes me.
Wait, that is so exciting. Oh my God, I didn't know that. Obviously, I wouldn't have. I thought you were just like doing this one for a while. And
no. Yeah.
That's actually amazing, because it shows that, you know, despite how difficult this year has been, there is beauty in it too, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely.
It showed you a path where you probably were meant to be in anyways.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And also a path that otherwise I never would have pursued, like, at all. Like, you know, I loved my previous job. I love the fashion industry, and that's, you know, where my heart was. And then, you know, suddenly when that's just taken from you and you don't really have any other options at the moment, it just, I don't know, it just, you know, completely fell to the wayside, and my art was here, and it was just something that, you know, during COVID, and it continues, it gives me comfort, it calms me down, and, you know, it eases this like new anxiety I've been experienced this year. So, yeah.
So you're telling me that prior to COVID, was this ever like a hobby? Like, role did art play? I know obviously fashion is considered art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the,
I agree.
The actual, you know, abstract art, right? And you painting, yeah, the canvases and all of that. Like, you never had, do you know what I'm trying to ask you? Like, did you never have those experiences just throughout your life as a hobby or as a side thing?
Never as a side thing. As a hobby, yeah, I mean, I always loved, I always loved art. And, like, honestly, the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York is my second home. I go there, well, pre-COVID, I'd go there at least twice every week. And, like, so it's something I've always loved and admired. And it's, like, but, yeah, it was just something I never did on my own. Like, I feel like I have a very good eye for art, and right now I'm just trying to learn how to put this onto a canvas. You know, all my years of just admiring beautiful works in museums, especially in New York, we have the most amazing art museums. We're so lucky. But yeah, I was in 2019, I was divorced, and after my divorce, that was actually when I bought my first canvas to paint. That was in probably November of last year. So I started painting a little bit last winter, but it was very little. Like, I don't know if anyone were to go way back on my Instagram, I started my Instagram last November, and I have maybe like 10 images on there leading up to COVID. So like I dabbled a bit, but it was nothing like how right now this is my complete focus. Just like expanding my contacts and meeting other artists in Brooklyn, and just, so I feel like due to COVID, it's really evolved into something I never thought it would.
Totally. And I feel like Brooklyn is like the perfect place to, you know, explore this side of you, right?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I mean, especially Bushwick.
I agree. There are so many, I mean, New York in general, there are so many amazing and creative people, whether it's like, you know, whether they're in fashion or they're a photographer or they're a chef, you know, there's so many creative outlets and so many creative individuals in the city, but especially, or at least I feel, especially Brooklyn and, like you said, Bushwick, there so many art studios in this area, like all those cool old warehouses. I don't know. I just find those so inspiring. And And yeah, just this neighborhood has such a rich history, and I think it's perfect for artists. So yeah, I feel really lucky, as I'm sure you do as well, living in this neighborhood and in this borough as a creative.
Yeah. So I also know that you used Instagram to kind of, I guess, bring your art, obviously, one to more, you know, exposure. Mm-hmm. But how, and I know that you sell artwork, and I know you also like do, I guess you can say, I don't know what the correct terms are, like shows or like.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's been fairly new, which you may know the bar. They're right around the corner from us. However, they opened during COVID. Mika in.
Yes. Oh, actually, it's on my list.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
I want to go there. I was going to. Yes. Have a date there.
Oh my gosh, or also I feel like Mika, the owner, would probably be a great person to interview. Yeah. As well. I'm so curious what her story is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really new, but it has, I saw pictures of like the vibe outside and I was like, ooh, that's really cute.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's just like this massive warehouse inside. I guess it, previous to them opening it, I believe it was abandoned. And before that, it was like car manufacturing place. Do not quote me on that. And I am sorry for the listeners if I am completely wrong. It had to do something with like cars. But yeah, the inside is massive. So you feel safe with social distancing. And, you know, they've been really strict about, you know, how many people can come in. So they've been having these events weekly, almost daily, but they are following COVID protocols, which is nice to see. But yeah, they've been having these holiday pop-up markets leading up to Christmas, where they'll have local artists come, local or Michelin star chefs and local DJs. And it's just a fun way to bring community together. So that's been really great. Yeah. I'll actually be there this Friday and next Friday.
Okay. Yeah. We will connect because I think I would love to stop by.
Yeah. You should, especially since it's almost down the street from here. That would be great. Literally.
Wait, but I'm really curious, can you talk more about how did you, I guess, transition into, well, it's not even the word transition, right? But how did you decide to sell your art, right? And how did you just like walk me through that process of being like, okay, actually,
yeah,
one, I am super artistic, I am talented, you know, I have amazing work. And then did you have this light bulb moment where you said, oh, I can showcase this on social media? Like, and then where do most of your customers find you? Is it through these art galleries? Is it through Instagram? I'm just so curious.
Yeah. So in the beginning, or at least as in beginning COVID, I was just posting occasionally. Well, first off, when I started my art Instagram, a friend who... one of my girlfriends who works in the New York art industry, her advice to me was, Emily, make sure you post every day, even if you have nothing new to post, even if you don't want to, if you're worried about annoying your followers, she's just like, make sure you post something every day. So this spring, you know, I wasn't, it's hard, you know, sometimes as a creative, like putting your work out there because you don't really know what the response will be. So in April, I was trying to follow her protocol. I was like, okay, I have all this time on my hands to paint. So I was trying to post something every day, whether it was an art quote, a detailed shot of a painting, or just a full canvas. And, you know, it can get frustrating when you don't get any response or feedback. But I just had nothing else to do. So I was like, I'm going to keep doing this and see what happens. And it was one day in April, it was actually one of my roommates from Italy reached out to me, and this doesn't sound at all like a massive deal, but to me at that time, it was just like, it opened my eyes. But she's like, oh my gosh, I love the latest. It was this pink abstract sunset I did. She's like, I love your latest painting. Can I buy it? How much is it? I'd love to support, you know, a small business. And, like something as little as that, like really opened my eyes, like, oh my gosh, like there might be people who actually want to buy this. Like at first when I started painting, as in COVID, like really started painting, I wasn't necessarily thinking of it as something like as a way to make money, which I still don't want to think of it that way. I still want to think of it as like a passion of mine, but that just wasn't even on my mind until she reached out and was like, I want to buy this painting. And that's when things kind of changed. I was like, oh my gosh, I could actually, you know, potentially be doing something I love and also making money during this time when I'm not working. So that was amazing. That really opened my eyes. And from then I tried to do more research into like, how can I market myself via Instagram? Just what channels can I use? How can I reach out to people? And then things lately, at least the past few months. So initially I was only meeting people through Instagram. And then in October, the first weekend of October, I started selling my artwork on the street on Bedford Avenue in Williamsburg. And that was just another game changer. Like I have continued to meet so many amazing people on the street, from the other artisans that are selling on the street to just everyone that's walking by, that the people I've met that have come up to my table. So that has been huge. And I feel like that is something I really want to continue doing, at least on the weekends, as long as it's not raining or below freezing. That's been really great. So, and again, this is something every day I'm still trying to learn, just how can I better market myself? How can I become a better artist? How can I meet more people and connect? So, I mean, when you reached out to me about this, I was like, this is incredible. And this is, again, something I never would have thought of on my own. It's a continual learning process.
I just feel like your path and story is just so, it's so beautiful, because it's one of those things where so many people can't say that they are fulfilled, right? And I'm not, putting words in your mouth. I don't know if that's how you feel, but just the mm-hmm. fact that you are so passionate about this, right?
Thank you.
So many people struggle, and I definitely have been in that phase as well, just trying to find like, what is your purpose? What is your why, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that this like fell on your lap, essentially.
Yeah, it really does feel like that, yeah.
I'm curious to know how do you approach art? How many pieces do you tackle a day? Do you ever experience creative rut?
Oh, yeah.
How do you go about naming your pieces? How do you go about the color? Does it just come to you? Do you brainstorm? Like, what is your personal creative approach to all this?
And again, this is something at least for me, I can't speak to other artists, but I feel like it's continually changing. Like when I first started painting last November, just, dabbling in it a little bit, I was really trying hard to focus, like, what is inspiring me right now? Like, how do I feel? Like, I was really trying to connect with my emotions and portray that onto the canvas. And not that I felt like I was going about it wrong, but the pieces meant a lot to me because I could see in them like anger, frustration, or however I was feeling at that time. And then I feel like this year I've changed a bit more. I don't know, maybe it was COVID and I feel like people are drawn to more happier things, and or at least to me personally, like more colorful things, something that gives you hope or joy. I turn my attention to colors and shapes and textures that inspire me, that I find beautiful, that make me happy and that gives me joy. And when I look at it, I smile, rather than initially when I started painting and it was more, I was really using art as a way to like kind of get a lot of my frustrations out with my divorce. And so lately it's been more, I've been really inspired by like bright colors. For a while in the summer, I was doing a sunset series. I just something soft and beautiful and something that everyone can relate to, and that everyone, at least I think for the most part, something that people admire and find beauty in. It changes all the time. It's hard. And of course, I have favorite abstract artists that I really admire, and my stuff looks nothing like theirs, but hopefully one day it could be.
But that's the point, right? It shouldn't look like anybody else's.
Exactly. That's true. Yeah. But like I look online at like William de Kooning or Cecily Brown, and I see their work. I'm like, oh, it's so like, you could just get lost in their paintings. And again, like, I think art is something that you should never want to reach a certain point. You should always want to continually evolve and continually get better. You never want to, with art, I don't think you ever want to be like, oh, I've made it, because that's not the point of art. You need to keep creating, keep exploring, and keep trying new things. So, but yeah, so I do definitely get in ruts at times. There are so many paintings I paint that I hate, and then I just have to scrape the paint or repaint it. I will never show the world them, but it's something I just take it as a learning process, or, you know, it's just, but also it's funny. Sometimes I just don't like how a painting looks, and I'm frustrated because I had a vision in my mind and I can't really portray that onto the canvas. And for some reason I post it anyways and people love it. And it's, I have noticed the paintings that I'm not as personally in love with, those are the ones that tend to sell. I'm not sure why. I prefer darker colors. Pardon?
No, I feel like that always happens. It's like when you think something is going to do really well, whether it's in, you know, Instagram or life or whatever, it's all, sometimes it's the opposite and it's shocking, but it's also like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
It shows you a side that you, you know, didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So again, I'm just trying to take that data as like a learning experience. Okay, like these are the customer, or this tend to be the customers that are attracted to my artwork. This is what the majority of the colors, the pieces, the style and the texture that they're attracted to. And I need to, I guess, work with that color palette and just explore that a bit more. But yeah, it changes every day. Yeah. I try to paint at least 3 to 4 times a week. And when I paint, it's like, it will be an all day thing. I don't have a studio. I just paint in my apartment at the moment.
How do you keep it clean?
It's hard. It's actually like, it's so funny. I'm very OCD with cleanliness. It's like, it's actually an issue in my life. So when I paint, you know, paint goes everywhere, and I have, dark wood floors in my apartment, and I have to wait for the paint dries, and then I'll spend like an hour scraping all the paint off the floor.
Oh my God. It's a process.
It just goes everywhere.
Yeah, I can imagine. They're like splatters sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You know? So I need to figure that out. And I, you know, I would of course love one day to have a space where I can just go crazy and not have to worry about, you know, if the paint gets on the floor or on the walls or, but yeah. So I guess that will be my next goal, to have a little studio.
You'll get there for sure.
Thank you.
So when you look back at your journey, whether it's, you know, with this new path and passion that you have found, or just in your life, when have you felt the most challenged? Like, what moment? And again, this, I want to preface this by saying that this is a safe place and share whatever you're comfortable with, but I just want to normalize, you know, that we are humans, that life is not always butterflies and flowers, and that it can get a little ugly. We all have challenges, but I truly believe that challenges are what keeps us going, what makes us stronger, as cheesy as that sounds. And that's like another reason why I started this podcast, because I had just personal trauma and things that I've been through, and I really wanted to just like share them.
Yeah.
You know, and you're here now, right? Yeah, so there's beauty in that as well. So just like, if you look back, like, have you ever hit rock bottom? What was that like?
I mean, I don't want to say I've hit rock bottom before, due to my art. If anything, I can think of twice in my life where I've hit rock bottom. Once was after my divorce, and once was this year. Just everyone, again, COVID was a struggle for everyone. I know I'm not alone in that by any means. But I had lost my job. My ex broke up with me the same day because he couldn't handle my stress of losing my job. And then I had to move, and it all happened like within one day. And I felt like I was having a mental breakdown. And again, same with my divorce. That was a completely different kind of stress. But both times when I felt like I was really at the bottom, of both years. I mean, every time it's always been like art was what I had to turn to because, you know, I'm one of those people, if I'm feeling a certain way, like I don't want to go to my friends and talk about it or my family. Like I'm more of an introvert and I want to process it first on my own. And it's always been art that has helped me really get through these things. Like, I know that sounds maybe, like you said, like a bit cheesy to say, but it is like when I paint, it's just, and again, I'm sure it's this way for so many other creatives in their field. Like when I start painting, like all this constant stress and worry and anxiety that I feel like I've been carrying the past 2 years, like it just like floats to the back of my mind. It just goes away. And it's almost like a meditative state. I truly feel that way when I'm painting, like your mind just goes blank and you're not thinking of anything. It's just, you're just focused on the canvas and your brush or your knife, whichever you're painting with. And it's almost like an addictive feeling, like at least to me. And sadly I don't meditate. Maybe I have no right to compare it to meditation, but in my mind, what I've heard of meditation, I feel like I'm able to compare it to that. But I feel like for me, that's really actually like saved me the past year and a half, just being able to paint and, you know, and having this space that allows me to do that, even though it may be limited. Because yeah, I think everyone hits rock bottom at times and it's hard. And, you know, we deal with that stress in different ways. And for me, it's just been through art. And last year it may have been a bit different because I had my job also to focus on, like to pour my energy into. In the summer, I didn't have that. I just had my art. So it, I think it's really been a blessing and it's absolutely been a saving grace for me. Yeah, I'm not sure what I would have done this year without it. I don't know what I would have done without it this year during COVID. It would have been a tough year for sure.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just like smiling because I'm just so happy that I feel like a lot of times it's hard, right? When you go through phases, it's hard to look at like the silver lining. And I always try to have the most positive attitude. I'm also a realist, you know, and I do think it's important to honor your feelings, acknowledge exactly what you're going through, and then kind of reassess and reevaluate and make a better decision of, okay, this is happening, right?
Yeah.
Can't really control it, but how can I move forward? You know, what I want to get to here and how am I going to do that? And most of the time, it's honestly just shifting your mindset.
Yeah,
exactly. The first step. And then once you do that, the universe, I really believe in the universe and the power of manifestation, the law of attraction. I really believe that once you figure out what you want and you ask for it, it just all works out. I know people might disagree with me, but I don't know. That's just like my belief. And having that belief has helped me to be more optimistic, right, about the future. So thank you for sharing your challenges.
Of course.
But on the flip side, when have you felt the most proud?
I think it was, and I you know, I try my best. I think as humans, most of us do, like try my best not to get too proud. Like I feel like I am like you as well. Like I'm a very much a realist and, I never want to get too big of a head because you never know what's around the corner. But the first day in October, the first weekend of October, when I decided to go out to the street and try and sell my art, I was terrified. You know, it's one thing on Instagram or online, whether you have a website or just however you're selling your artwork. You know, you're posting your artwork. And it, again, that is a scary experience. You don't know what, at least for me, like you're putting your heart out there. Like you don't know how people are going to respond. Like something that's so precious to you, you know, most people may not care about. But it's also like you're hidden by a screen. Like you're not seeing people's reactions. So when I went out to the street, that to me was so scary. I just felt like, you know, I'm going to see people's faces when they look at my artwork. I'm going to like hear their reactions. And I just like, I was like, I don't know if I can handle this, but I need another way to sell my artwork. You know, I just needed to continue expanding and meeting people. So I went out there like, I remember I got there way too early, and the other vendors, and were like, they still make fun of me to this day. They're like, we don't go out and sell till like 1, and you were there at like 7 a.m. But so I go out like super early to Bedford Avenue, set up my table, get my artwork all displayed, and, you know, and you just like, you sit there. I mean, honestly, the street vendor, you just sit there and you just wait. And, you know, there's only so much engagement you can really do with people. And again, this is something I'm still learning the art of, but, you know, you want them to come to your table and like, you know, you want them to see your artwork and want to like look through it and ask you questions. And I remember I was there for like, it was maybe like the 5th hour, and I had no sales, and like no one had come up to my table, and, you know, like I just felt like defeated and I felt like crying. And then this guy comes up and he's just like, yeah, I kept walking by your work. And then, you know, I was at the park and I was thinking about it. I just came back, you know, I just like, I love it. I just have to buy something. And it's just, you just get that one sale to like completely change your day. And actually it's so funny, like that first day when I was so terrified, that's been my best selling day the entire year, even though I've continued to go out to the street and I've continued to have great days that first day. And I think I just needed that. Like I just for my own self-confidence and my confidence in my artwork, I just needed a bit of reassurance to know that people, and not everyone, of course, but like that people do appreciate it. And, you know, people do see your artwork and, you know, you can see that it may bring someone else joy. And it was such an incredible experience. And again, like, I feel like I met the most, and I continue to meet the most amazing people when I'm set up at my little table on Bedford Avenue. But it was just such a great day, and, you know, talking to people and seeing how some of them really love my art, or how some of them were artists and, you know, maybe they were in a rut and they're trying to learn, or explore new avenues of art and creating. It was such a cool day. And I feel like that was by far my most proud moment of my short art journey thus far. It was just, and again, I mean, there are days when I'm out there and you just meet every kind of person. I mean, that goes without saying in New York City. You know, people will say like kind of nasty things to you about your artwork, or, you know, people will like stick their noses up at you because you're like a street vendor, or, you know, you just meet so many different people, but it just takes like one person that day to like say something nice, or just like, and it just can completely change the day. And, you know, you just can't let those bad days define everything, like, or you can't let those bad days define the experience, because, so that first day of selling on Bedford was definitely my favorite day so far of my art career.
That's awesome. And I'm sure your art career is just going to skyrocket from here on out.
Thank you. I hope so. Yeah.
So I want to shift gears a little bit, and this podcast is called The City Confessions. I explained why I started it, but more so I wanted to invite guests to come on and be real and honest, because that's like one of the values that I just adore from New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. And share a confession. So before you do, I also want to just like let you know there's no right or wrong. And it doesn't have to be deep. It can honestly be like really silly, and some questions that I think would be helpful for you to think about. A confession is just, you know, what are some things that you wish people knew about you, or what is a misconception you think people have of you? What is a fun fact? So if anything comes to mind, you can share what is your confession, Emily.
Oh, I love this. Should I just start saying things?
Yeah, whatever comes to your mind. This is not, we do not prep here.
I love it. I guess I'll start with, easy, some like maybe fun facts about myself. I'm ambidextrous, so I can paint with both hands. I'm equally left and right-handed. But I prefer to write with my left hand, and then I like do sports with my right. It just, the things vary, but with painting, I can use both, which has been interesting. I'm really tall. I'm taller than like I would want to say like almost all my followers. I'm like awkwardly tall. I'm 6'1". What else? I am a natural redhead. Have never dyed my hair. No, these are terrible.
No, they're fine.
What else?
This is a no judgment
zone. Amazing. I love it. Brooklyn is by far the coolest city in the world, and Brooklyn has my heart. I don't think I can ever leave this borough. Oh my gosh. Feel free to ask. So wait, you had said some fun facts. What else did you say when you were spewing off?
Or just like some examples people, I think like some of the more common ones are, you know, like people experience imposter syndrome, that they're not as confident as they seem. I mean, those are pretty much, wow. I don't want to say obvious, but I feel like they're pretty obvious. Some people have like shared obviously like deeper things that they have gone through that are more personal. But again, it is whatever, however you are receiving this question.
Wow. What else? Okay.
Like, do you have any fears maybe? Oh, gosh. You know, like, it's actually more of, if it depends how, what route you want to take it, but I guess it's also can be connected to like insecurities and vulnerabilities. That's something that a lot of guests have linked confession to.
Okay. I mean, really with vulnerabilities, at least with our, I think my biggest fear, I don't want to say I've overcome it, because again, this is something that I'm still learning and it changes daily. But I mean, my biggest fear, at least in the beginning, was, you know, just putting my artwork out there for people, for, you know, for the world to see, essentially, when it's on social media. And then, you know, going out on the street, you know, just that was a huge fear again, just seeing people's reactions and knowing that it may not, you know, you never want that fear of rejection. Like, you know, you always want people to love your work and, but you have to be realistic and you know that's not always the case. And I think that's one thing though that, or I don't want to say I think, I know that is my favorite thing about art. And I think that's one reason why I've always admired it so much and I've always loved it so much, is because it's so subjective. Mm-hmm. It absolutely drives me mad when people are at like an art museum or wherever they are that they're viewing artwork and they're just like, oh, that is ugly. Like, why would anyone love like that? Artwork is so, like, I feel like I hear this all the time at modern museums. Like, people just don't tend to understand modern art. And like, they say a piece is so ugly and just, how can anyone like that? Why would that be hung up in a museum? But that's the beauty of it. It, you know, Andy Warhol, for example, made that so clear with art, is art is so subjective. Anything can be art. And that's the beauty of it. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be aesthetically beautiful. It can be a Campbell soup can, like, but it's artwork. And you can like it or you can hate it, but it is what it is. And, you know, and that's something I've been trying to, as I've been painting this year, just for myself to understand, like, Emily, not everyone's going to love your artwork the way you do. You know, it's subjective. Not everyone's going to like the abstract paintings you do or the colors you use or the textures or the style. But then on the other side, like, there will be someone who loves it and like someone that it speaks to. And I think that's so great. It's just another example of how us humans are so different and we're so unique and we're all so special. I mean, all of our different tastes. But yeah, just that was my biggest, again, just biggest fear was just, you know, will people hate my art? And again, it's just something I've had to learn to just, regardless of if they like it or love it, I just have to accept it for what it is, because you can't really put like a fact on a piece of artwork or a said opinion. Like, it's going to change per person.
No, that makes total sense.
If that makes sense. I may be butchering the wording.
No, I totally understand what you're trying to say. It was clear.
Okay.
I want to take a moment now to just really send my gratitude for you for being on. Aww. I think not even just with COVID, but me recording episodes for 2 years now, it makes me so, like, not only am I, like, obviously passionate about sharing stories, but whenever mm-hmm. I'm recording, I am totally present. You know, I'm here yeah. with you. I hear you. Aww, and you. It's a gift when people share their stories, and I'm like, they're giving permission to me to have access to their time and yeah. energy. And I think that is sacred. So by you saying yes, I'm showing up today, that means a lot to me, more than, like,
thank you.
I know you, for you, it might just be like, yeah, I'm just going to record. But for me, it's a big deal. So yeah. Thank you for that.
Oh, and thank you for, again, just even viewing my artwork online and, you know, reaching out and wanting to speak to me about my journey. You know, that really means a lot to me. And again, that's just another, like, boost of confidence I needed. And I really appreciate it. I really do.
So I have one more question before we wrap it. What is the one thing you love most about yourself?
And I believe you had also mentioned this about yourself earlier, which I love to hear. Despite, you know, the bad times and the low times I've had that, you know, all of us humans have had, I always try to, you know, find that silver lining, find the bright side. And for COVID, as hard as it was for everyone, and, you know, for me personally, losing a job I loved and adored, and, you know, just like going through an on and off breakup and just, you know, everything else, that all the stress that went with COVID, and, you know, finalizing my divorce this summer. And it was such a beautiful year, and just being able to find my voice in art and just have that time that I otherwise never would have had. And you and all those things that caused me stress, it also gave me inspiration, and it also, you know, it has, and it continues to influence my artwork. And so I think one thing that I'm grateful for about myself, and I know I get it from my family, is I try my best to see the silver lining, the bright side, the good in the situation. Even if at the time it's dark or it's lonely, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and you just have to focus on that. And things will always get better. You just have that positive attitude.
Totally. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So this is also the chance for you to plug away. I'm going to leave all of your information in the show notes. So for all of you listening, be sure to check that out. But what are you currently working on? So this episode obviously is going live next week. So it's very timely.
Okay.
But what can the world be on the lookout from you, Emily, in 2021? Do you have any secret projects? What can you share?
So one thing that I am excited about, I'm hoping to be moving soon, and I have my eye on an apartment. I would still be in Bushwick, but,
Where's she going?
I mean, again, nothing is set in stone, but the apartment that I fell in love with, I put in the offer, it would allow me to have my own little studio space, and that's just my dream for next year. I really want to have a studio where I can really expand my, my horizons and just work on larger pieces. Cause I think with abstract expressionism, I mean, you can work on any size canvas, of course, but the larger pieces, at least to me, when I see these beautiful, massive abstract pieces at museums, you just get lost in those, and you can just there's so much emotion and depth to those. I want my paintings to speak to people the way that Rothko's and de Kooning's and Brown's speak to me when I see them in museums, and they're just so awe-inspiring. And there's this, I don't know how the quote, I don't know the exact words of this quote by Rothko, but Marth Rothko, a brilliant abstract expressionist, he once said, you know, if you're standing in front of one of my paintings and you don't become emotional, you're missing the point. And I just absolutely love that. To me, I can stand in front of one of his paintings, and you stand there long enough and you will just start crying. They are so beautiful. And, you know, I want that chance to be able to expand my horizons and just work on larger canvases and just, I don't know, and see where it takes me. At least that's my dream for 2021.
I feel like you need to just like envision like just like a reality, you know, like yeah. just like you could create your own reality is what mm-hmm. I like to say.
Yeah.
And I know it's the beginning of your journey, your art journey. And I think it's, that's exciting, right? Because yeah. you're starting a new chapter essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're right. Yeah. It is exciting to see. I mean, already just within the past months, like, you know, what all has happened and the amazing people I've met. It's so exciting to see just what next year will bring. And yeah, so it's been great.
So exciting. Well, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your story. And as I mentioned before, I'm going to leave all of Emily's information in the show notes. So be sure to check it out. Her artwork is amazing. I really love it. I personally love abstract art. I think that's why I was also really drawn to it. But yeah, and if you want to connect with her again, just her information will be listed in the show notes. But with that being said, thank you so much for listening, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And stay tuned for our next week's episode. All right, bye.
Bye.